preaching over the last year has been way better than what you were used to previously. So please be kind to him as he does his very best today.
Thanks, Dan. Love you too. Oh man, this is it's like riding a bike. Just never forget. Would you guys, if you would you bow your heads with me and let's open in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for being here today and just, Lord, being able to be in your house and with your people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And just pray over these next moments as we dive into your word, Lord, that you would bless it and that we would have open hearts and your spirit would move and we would receive your word and we would not leave the same as we came in. We love you. We praise you. And it's all about you, Lord. Amen. So what have I missed? A lot of good stuff I hear. Probably nothing negative, right? No gossiping or complaining, nothing in the whole last year. No? Good. If you have, shame on you. And I know it's probably was justified, but there, now that everybody's offended and no longer glad I'm here, I want to give you a quick update before we dive into our sermon. We have in just a moment some pictures of the kids and just to kind of give you a quick update, embarrass the kids. You won't see any pictures of me because the camera adds 10 pounds, as does living in a town where there's an Arby's. And so I wish I had a better thing to say other than that, but we have just missed you guys so much, and if maybe you're newer here, it's just amazing. About 8 years ago, the way that God just laid out fleece after fleece after fleece, like with Gideon, and if you don't know that story, read your Bible, for us to come to Hoopston. I'm saying that reading the Bible is important, and so that's good. But the same thing when God called us about a year ago and over the course of maybe the last 2 years over to Huntington, India. If we can go back to the first picture, I'll kind of give just a quick update real quick. This is Ellie at one of her proms. She went to like 5 proms. I don't know, but she wore the same dress, so I love her. So we have that. Let's see. There we have Carla and Ellie in the Huntington North High School cafeteria. I assume that's a random picture. I'm not sure. What do we have next? That is Ellie looking like, remember what was the Mad Max Thunderdome movie? Looking like one of those characters. But that is Color Guard. That is Isaiah mowing our front lawn. Listen, I don't have to mow anymore. He is now 8 and he loves to mow. And so I don't have to mow, and that is wonderful. That is Isaiah with a fake animal. No animals were hurt in the making of this picture. So if you're an animal lover, sorry. Now, this is a good one because I guarantee you 3 seconds before, hey, kids, smile, that was a chokehold. If you know our younger 2 children, I guarantee you there was a chokehold there. And then smile, and then it was that. And then as soon as the picture was done, it was more of a chokehold. So that is Isaiah at our baseball field, and so we're really, really enjoy, he's a good little ball player, praise the Lord, and so that's just a random baseball picture. That is Josie coming out of our downtown library, and she probably read all those in 2 days. She is a reader, and that is Josie playing volleyball in Muncie, Indiana, the most exciting place on earth. If any of you watch Parks and Rec, you get that. That is Josie. Looks like she's smoking that other kid, so I figured that was a good picture. That's cross country. She loves to run. She did not get that from me. That is it. So quick obligatory update on all the kids. But we just really, of course, have missed you guys because I love the church. I love the body of Christ. I love God's people and just all of us and all of our goodness and sometimes and all of our mess or whatever it might be. But I just think and know that Jesus left the church on earth and he's coming back for his church. He established the church, and the church is God's plan A. And all the Catholics and Nazarenes and Baptists and Methodists and Church of God who love Jesus and want to serve and follow him and be a part of helping redeem people back to God, that's his church, not just the Church of God, of course. And so I could just preach for months and months on the church, but I've got about 20 minutes, so I'm going to try and talk fast. A couple of verses about the church this morning, and you know, I really prayed over the last month since Pastor Dan and the elders, hey, would you want to come and preach before Pastor David comes? I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. And so just have missed you guys, and I've kept trying to get a Sunday where I could get here, and it just hasn't worked out. But I'm really praying about what to preach about, and just, you know, If you've been part of this church for years, you know that preaching about the church being the church is really just on my heart. That God has put us here as His people. And, you know, Jesus didn't just die for us so that we could have a relationship with God, so we could go to heaven and our sins could be forgiven and we could overcome the power of sin and death in our life. But also because there's a whole world out there who needs Jesus. And He's called you and I as His church to fulfill this mission. And that is just near and dear to my heart. And so in Romans 12, we know the church is the body of Christ, and there's all different ones of us, and that's how it is with Christ's body. So we're many parts, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. And some other translations say, use your gifts. And Corinthians, there's a couple verses as well. And let's just hold that real quick. Let's hold that verse real quick. I want to talk about the church for another second. You and I, we are the church, and one of the things that God really cares about in His church is unity. So whether I'm the pastor somewhere in Indiana or here, or whether we're at the Baptist church or the Nazarene church, or whether you come to second service or first service or whatever of these things that we might think divide us, God cares so much about unity. Matter of fact, the Bible talks more about unity than heaven or hell. I'm assuming some of you here have lost loved ones. You know that they're with the Lord, and we know that we're going to get heaven for all eternity, and it's beyond our wildest dreams. But I'll tell you what, unity in the church is so important to God, because God understands that without unity, we're in a world of hurt. Because the world, if they can't see us being that love that Jesus displayed, we don't really have a testimony. We can have the best music, we can have the best preaching, we can have the best sanctuary and nice facilities and programs and you name it, but if we're not loving each other and we're not a people who love people, we're not going to be fruitful as His church. And so what I want to kind of do today is I kind of want to go to the book of Corinthians. If you have your Bibles or a device, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, and I want to go over a couple of verses that I think are really applicable. And I promise you guys, I've prayed a ton about what to preach today, and so this is kind of very different than kind of some of the stuff I've been preaching over at Faith Community Church, et cetera. But I just really think for us today that this is really important. And as I thought about the church and unity and love, I also kind of thought of the story in Acts 10. If you know the story, there was a guy named Cornelius, and he was a Jew. And so God used Peter in this guy's life. And if you don't know the story, just real quick, basically what happened was Jesus came to Peter in a dream, and Jesus told Peter to eat something. And Peter's like, well, Lord, I would never do that because Peter argued with Jesus. Now, why am I telling you this story this morning? Because this whole Acts chapter 10, this guy named Cornelius, God used to be fruitful, and it was His way of telling the church, you've already had to accept the Jews, they can be Christians, and now you have to accept the Gentiles, like the world. You have to accept them into the church, as long, you know, and you have to do that. And so, in doing this, Peter argued with Jesus about not eating this meat when Jesus came to him in a dream. And I want to start with that a little bit before we go into Corinthians, because as a church, that's something that we can struggle with. God tells us to love everyone. God tells us to love one another. God tells us to serve. God tells us to be unified. God tells us to do all things without complaining or arguing. And we argue with God. Well, Lord, I know I would do this and I'd be part of the church and I wouldn't complain. And I would love people if you know the story from Acts chapter 10, it's just hilarious about Peter kind of arguing with Jesus. And we argue with Jesus with our lives sometimes, don't we? I mean, I can be guilty of that. But as the church, who we are and what job we have to do is so incredibly important that we must remember that if God is going to reach the world, if Jesus, John 3:16, if God so loved the world, you and I have to love people as well. And people aren't always lovable. But as the church, boy, we're supposed to be different. And I feel like Hoopston Church of God was always known as, and it still is, of course, as such a loving, accepting, wonderful church. And as your new pastor and his family come, just love on them, accept them. But let me tell you what you can do to make their lives easier. It's not bring them a bunch of food. It's not love on their kids. It's not be nice to them, which I know you guys will do all those things, and I could go on. What you can do is be obedient disciples of Jesus Christ, and you can love each other and love your community. That's what you can do to continue to flourish as the church. And really, you know, again, before you take that step to love people, you have to, you know, make sure, this church has always been very unified and still is, that you're loving each other as well. Okay? We as Jesus Church, we have to remember that above all of our preferences and our wants and our pastor this and pastor that and music and personal desires and things, is that really the story of the church, the story of all creation since the beginning of time, was God's love and pursuit of His people, of His children. So it's not just you and I, but everybody you know, everybody you work with, everybody you go to school with, everybody that you, whatever it is, even the really cruddy people that you might know, God is still in pursuit of them, and He's used you and wants to use you to love them. See, there's nothing more fruitful. A lot of times we think being fruitful is come to church, be good. Being fruitful is when you love people that are hard to love. That will make the world stand up and go, wow. Being fruitful is when you love each other. Being fruitful is when we don't complain or argue. You know, as a pastor, it's so funny. Sometimes you might get done with the Sunday and you might not ever hear a good sermon, or I really thought the altar call, but you might hear 10 things about the air conditioning or about the loudness of the music. And this is everywhere. I'm not going to single any place out, here, there, or elsewhere. But when we are able to be mature enough to forego that kind of stuff, God can really and will really use us greater than ever before. There are people all around us every day. I just heard a stat at a meeting last week that in the world, every 1 second someone dies who's never heard the name of Jesus. And that's just heartbreaking. Well, you know, where I live, people, you know, there's churches, and I would say, how many people around us have never been loved on by Jesus? Well, He loved him when He went to the cross and died for him. Well, they're loved when you and I love them, when you and I are kind to them, when you and I stand out by how we treat people and how we talk and on and on and on. I think about God pursuing His people. What was the greatest moment in all of human history? It wasn't when Jesus rose from the dead. That was the most pinnacle moment. The greatest moment when all things were right was when Adam and Eve were here before sin came. That's when creation, that's when everything was right. There was no brokenness in the world. There was no death, disease, cancer, hard feelings, hurt feelings, murder, any of these horrible things. That's when the world was most right. But then sin came, and really, ever since sin entered, all of human history has been about God pursuing His people. And nowadays, the church, that's the church's job. That's your job and my job. That was the moment, if you look throughout history, from Adam and Eve, and then you have, of course, to Noah and Abraham and Israel and to Jesus, and now the church, is the God of the universe pursuing His people. That's the church's job. That's what the church is here for. And for the church to be this, you need to be plugged in and involved and doing all these things. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. I never used a Greek word in all my time here, but I'll use one this morning, and a lot of you probably know it. It's what the church is. It's supposed to be this. The word is called this ekklesia, which is just this together community, this together on purpose community of people who are loving each other and loving their community. And I think the church here has just always been such a great example of that. But make no mistake, there's an enemy who doesn't want that. So keep that in mind as you've been through this transition, as your new pastor comes. What you can do is you can grow deeper in your faith, deeper roots, more in love with Jesus, more obedient to Jesus. And the number one thing Jesus wants you to obey is to be loving and kind to one another and to everyone. And I'm sure you have been, but if not, there's nothing more important that Christ desires of you. There's nothing more important that will help bridge the gap to souls spending an eternity in heaven versus hell is for you to obey the greatest commandment and to love. Now remember, though, love is in action. Love is in action. We so oftentimes, it's easy to miss this, and I get it. It's just kind of the human condition. And so I feel like, and this is just where God took me again, I don't really know. I think things here have been wonderful, but as I was praying and praying and praying, God says, all right, we're going to go to Corinthians. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're just going to go for a couple minutes. And I know that what Dan really misses the most is, as he said, you'll always preach for 15 minutes before you get to your first point. And so I'm not even to the first point yet, but I want to go over a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:2. This was Paul. Just forget Paul writing specifically to the church in Corinth. This is from God's word. This is God's word to his church. And so in this situation, he says, here's the deal. You've been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere, who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So this is the church. This is you and I. I mean, how many of you every day or today woke up and like, I feel like a holy person? That's not always the case, is it? Some of you probably already maybe argued with your spouse or your kids, or you were running late, or you're thinking what tomorrow's going to bring in the office, or you got a bunch of stuff going on. And you know, I get that, but it doesn't change the identity of who you are as God's holy people. There is no one on earth but you, church, that God has called and commanded and said, hey, love each other. I mean, not the kind of love that is cheap or it's a word or it's this heart feeling of, yeah, you know, love is an action. Love is something that should consume you. Your love for each other, your caring about people who don't know Jesus should be consuming to you. And love will cause us to hold our tongue. Love will cause us to love, to forgive, to act differently. And here in 1 Corinthians, the church was not necessarily acting that way. And that bothered Paul a lot. It really did. There was a lot of sin. They were fighting a lot, etc. And Paul kind of reminds them. Even back in verse 2 again real quick. He doesn't start out by saying, church, what is going on? He reminds them who they are. And this is something that really I need to preach to the church probably about twice a year. And you need to hear it. I need to hear it. Is this reminder of who we are. This reminder that we're this ecclesia, this community that God has called, that Jesus has put in place, and Jesus is leading us. And when we're together, we're the body of Christ. And the body of Christ overcame death and sin and hell. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you have in your heart if you've been saved and baptized into Christ. And the power that we can have in our world, we sometimes, however, we just don't always have that, unfortunately, because we kind of live in an identity crisis. And the biggest identity crisis we can have is thinking that anything about our lives is ours. Any preference about church is ours. Unless it's something that is a sin issue, a moral issue, a Bible authority issue, all the other stuff doesn't really matter that much. And that's what we have to remember, is that we can't live in this identity crisis. And to have abundant life and thriving, growing, healthy churches, we must do as the Bible says and no longer live, but remember that Jesus lives through us. Even in the midst of our daily lives and our busyness and our stuff, is that, man, you know, the Son of God died for me. He hung on the cross for me. You got to tell yourself that. He did it for you. He loves you that much. And you got to say, so how am I loving others? What am I doing to display this kind of love in my life? And that's being the church. And when that happens, there's no stopping us. 1:10 says this. It's an appeal to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Now, back then, some of the divisions that were going through the church were huge. And here's what I see as a pastor. I've been a pastor here for 7 years and now over there for a year, and going to meetings and listening to other pastors. 99.99% of the divisions in the church are not about Scripture, not about moral issues. They're not big sin issues. It's things that just aren't that important. And so I hope none of that has went on here. I see a lot of you looking down. That's not a good sign. We can giggle about it. It's not funny. I've done a lot of hard things in my life. I think probably the hardest thing I've maybe ever had to do was to leave Hopeston, Illinois. But I come this morning and I see all of you and your wonderful, friendly, smiling faces, and here you are and you're the church, and it's just so encouraging and so exciting. But I just, since I know I may never preach here again, or maybe not for years and years and years, but since I've got you for a few more minutes, I just want to charge you again as the church and remind you how blessed you are, how saved you are, how loved you are, and how commanded and commissioned you are to go be that way to your world. that you guys are the hope for Hoopston, Illinois. And however many other churches are meeting this morning and they're in church, and if they've putting the Lord first and His Word first and love first and people, especially lost people, in front of themselves, then they're the church as well. Okay? Now I know, I was told recently you're not supposed to say lost anymore. It's not politically correct. Let me tell you something. If you don't have Jesus, you're lost. It's like Adam and Eve when they ran from God in the garden, they were lost. But we've sinned, and there's shame, and there's all those things. And we have a whole world of people who are running from the Lord. And it's you, when you leave here, that are supposed to be the ones engaging them and loving them and talking to them and being on purpose in being Jesus to them. That's just such a great verse, 1 Corinthians 1:10. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, we have misplaced focus. And all kinds of things can misplace our focus. But, you know, remember Jesus said the first will be last. So let me sum up faith this morning as part of the church. And this is not some, well, that there's lots of things that could sum up faith. But this is biblical. You're supposed to love the Lord first. You're supposed to love the Lord your God, love the Lord Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second person you're supposed to love is someone else. Someone else in this room. Someone else who isn't very lovable. Someone else you work with. Someone else who, whatever it might be. And then third on the list of three is you. And man, if in church we would really embrace this, look out. Like, I really just, I think of you ahead of myself. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to correct you. I don't have to be right. I'm just going to love on you. I'm going to be kind to you. And if we would go out and do that, like, wow. I know through the years when some of you guys, and I love you, you'd come to me and maybe it was the music, sorry Dan, or the paint or the car. I loved you guys for 7 years by just saying, cool, I'm glad you feel that way. I don't really care about that. Like, that's not on the grand scheme of thing list when it comes to being in the church. It's really just not that important. Some of you didn't always love me back, but I love you anyway. And I probably, and at times I let you down and I get it. But see, that's love. That's being the church. We can disagree. We can do all these things. But at the end of the day, you know what? We're going to love each other. We're going to move forward. We're going to forgive one another. And again, the Bible talks more about unity in church than heaven or hell. Think about God for a moment this morning. He knew, because of His rules and His justice and His perfection and fairness, that sin separated His children from Him, and that every child He ever made, every person who's ever lived. Any of you here have children? If you have any children, raise your hand. Okay. Do you love your children? Think about this. Every one of God's children, every person who's ever lived, every child that you have, if you raise your hand, will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Does anybody disagree with that scripturally? Good. If you do, see me afterwards and we'll talk. That's a pretty big deal. Hell is going to be really separation from God for a Christless eternity. I can't even think about it. And then heaven, which we can't even begin to imagine. And those are big deals to God because He loves His children. But yet He talks more about unity in His word He left for us than heaven or hell. He talked more about us being unified in loving each other, being kind to each other, having that unity as God's people than He does heaven or hell. Verses 11 and 12. For some members of Chloe's household, I don't know much about Chloe, not a Bible scholar. They've told me about corals, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying Apollos or Peter. So what was going on here in the Bible was you had the guys who'd come around and establish the churches, and they were basically the pastor or missionary for a little while, and then they left. And then what would happen is, because I don't know if you guys remember, but Paul and Peter didn't always get along real well. You guys remember that? They didn't see eye to eye about some things in the church necessarily. And so people were kind of arguing or picking sides and saying, well, he this or he that. And this is just a great moment because this happens in every church everywhere. It's so important for us to remember that our loyalty and our faith and our you know what, we're following Jesus. That's it. You know, Jesus is the subject isn't on the wall because it's cute or catchy or anything like that. And I'm not going to argue like the English or the preposition, you know. It's the fact that, we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we live to follow Him. We love Him. We serve Him. We obey Him. And I mean, that's just, Jesus is the subject, and that's what's so cool. I mean, it's whether you're, again, you could be the other churches in town this morning, you can be here, you know what? God knows the heart of His church. He knows the heart of His people. And when we're being the church, Jesus will be the subject, and God will honor and bless that. Verse 13. Paul writes and kind of reminds them. Do we have 13? All right. In 1 Corinthians 1:13, I'll just read it for you real quick. He says this. He says, is Christ divided? He goes, was Paul crucified you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And this is like sarcasm, which I love, if you know me. And he's kind of just reminding the church that no denomination, no pastor. I was somewhere this week in Huntington, and it was one of those conversations where, you know me, I like to eavesdrop, like not in a weird way, but just because I love to hear people talk. And Huntington is more churched than Hoopston, and that's not a saying bad, good. I'm just saying that it is. In the county, we have about 60 churches. And we have one of the churches has a place, and it's connected to their church, and a lot of the Huntington University students go there. It's called Cafe of Hope. And so when you go there, it's all churchy people, which I love. But I love to hear churchy people talk, because sometimes I'm like, am I really hearing this? But anyway, it was a conversation, and it doesn't matter. It was someone going on and on about their faith, and they were kind of – but I won't call out the denomination. I won't do it. But, you know, I'm just like, boy, did I, it's hard to tell the story without saying the denomination. Oh, okay, I'm going to make up Lutheran, all right? It wasn't Lutheran, okay? So if any of you here have Lutheran roots, don't get mad. It was a different denomination. But I wanted to, I'm like, hey, let me hear about this, like, Luther guy who died for you. Or this Lutheran, like, church on, like, it was like, wow. I didn't hear anything about Jesus or anything about just any of that. I just heard about the Lutheran church, my Lutheran faith. I'm like, good night. And this person might have been the most loving. This person could have been a way better follower of Jesus than me. I don't know. But it just sounded, I was just like, do I have to keep listening? I can't continue to listen to this. And I think sometimes, you know, this is in verse 13, this was Paul using his sarcasm to say, don't do that. You were saved because of Jesus. You are following Jesus. That's it. Doesn't matter if you really liked Pastor Micah or didn't, or you think you're going to love Pastor David or you're not sure. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you're embracing your faith. You're embracing and loving and following Jesus and others. The Bible says time is running out. It's God's grace that is causing Him to be patient. Because once again, on earth, every second, someone dies who's never heard the name of Jesus. I mean, that's like, wow. Every one of you have people that you know, that you work with, whatever, that haven't been loved on or been, you know, they're like, there's churches all around me. And let me just make this personal for a moment, because I get to leave in a couple hours, okay? So weird, I never got to say that here before. You're like, what's he going to say now? I want you to think about just your neighbors. Well, I live in the country, it doesn't count. No, don't do that. Do they know that you're a Christian? And you don't have to be perfect. It's nothing to do with that. But I want you to think maybe you've got even people on maybe right around you, or let's just say a coworker that you've never asked about, do you go to church? Do you know Jesus? How do you think they feel? It's like, hey, you're supposed to be a Christian. You really must not even care enough about me to ask about, like, if I'm know Jesus, going to what about heaven, hell, life, death, church? Do you think that they feel loved by you if you never ever do that? And I know some of you right now as well, my neighbor is a piece of work. Like, yeah, I know. So are all of us to God. Like, think about how they might feel, or the person you work next to, or just think about all your relationships if you never have those conversations with them. They probably don't feel very important. They probably are like, boy. And so I say that to say this. You're like, well, every 1 second, somebody who's never heard the name of Jesus. What about in your life, people who they may have heard the name of Jesus, they may drive by churches all the time, but have you been Jesus to them at all? And that's what God is calling us to do. That's our purpose. So what is distracting you from your purpose, if anything? I've got four quick points. 20 minutes before I made a point, Dan. I know you miss me. I promise these are really, really quick points because we have to be done by 10 because there's biscuits and gravy out there. So I said earlier, I said, you think about like our... So in Huntington, our service starts at 10:15. We're done about 11:15, which is 10:15 here. So before second... So then what do you do after church, right? You go eat, right? I do, clearly. So... I'm like, boy, by the time our second service starts, I will have normally had lunch. So I'm just saying we got to be done by 10. So four quick things this morning that keep us from kind of being the church and living our purpose. And don't do me a favor over the next 10 minutes. Don't think of someone else. Don't think of someone in the church. Don't think of someone you wish was here to hear this. Just maybe like, okay, let me see if this applies to me at all. We fail to be the church when we're focused inwardly and not outwardly. Now, I know, of course, he's going to say this. Here we go. And Dan is, I listen to the sermons from here almost every week. Dan's hit on this, done a wonderful job. But we have to remember that we have a common mission. And Jesus and John talked about this. Jesus, I'll kind of paraphrase, Jesus said, pray for everyone who will believe in me so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And this is Jesus just saying, boy, the world, you know, one of the biggest, if you look at some of the research, people are doubting the infallibility of the Bible a little bit. And it's like, well, I believe in God, but I'm not sure. You know, Jesus was definitely special. But guys, when we're unified, when we're loving each other, when we're loving people, when God comes first and others come second and we put ourselves third, that causes people to believe. Amen. That causes people to believe. It's not our knowledge of the Word that we're Bible scholars or we're the most moral Christians of all time. That's important to try to live a good moral life. Those are important. But what causes people to believe is our love and unity. You know, remember in Mark chapter 4 when Jesus talked about the soil? And he said, every believer will have good soil. They will hear the Word, they'll obey the Word, and they'll gather harvest. So every believer here this morning will not only know the Word, you'll do your best to obey the Word, but you'll also gather harvest. You'll also share your faith. You'll also be an ambassador for Christ, a missionary for Christ. You'll put other people first. That's a common denominator of every believer as well. And this was so important to Jesus that, I mean, he talked about it over and over and over again. Our purpose in life, once you're saved, along with all these other things, the Bible says until the day you die, you're supposed to consistently look a little more like Jesus. You're being redeemed to what? To be the image of Jesus. I don't feel very Jesus-like most of the time. But I constantly can feel God working towards that. And the most important area in which He is working in your life and wants to is your love and your mercy and your grace and your kindness. Really, that's really the way it is. But the more we focus on ourselves, the less we look like Jesus. Amen? The more I focus on me and what I want to do, and the less I look like Jesus. But yet God is calling me to just the opposite and calling you to that as well. And I think this is a big lie the enemy uses on Christians in the church is when we're focusing on other things instead of Jesus, instead of others, is that we're convinced that we're right and this is a big deal and they don't understand and they're wrong and they did this or said this. But that's a lie. That's from down below, not up above. We as the church are called to live in harmony. 1 Corinthians 3, a couple more verses here real quick. And Paul talks about, and I'm not talking to you this morning, this is a verse Paul wrote to the church and said, and so I want you to personalize this morning. Are you spiritual or carnal? Are you fed with milk or solid food? Are you growing in your faith? Are you maturing? Do you find yourself more loving? Do you find yourself more able to let things go? Do you find yourself, this is a big growth for me, and I'm still working on this, but this is where I know God has worked in about the last 12 years since I gave my life back to Him, is I find myself able to bite my tongue. To not say, have to win the argument or say something unkind or correct someone or pop off or whatever it might be. And I'm still have a long way to go. But I feel the Holy Spirit just, okay, Micah, maybe it's not really with committing the sins. Now here's the deal. Let's work on your heart. Let's work on your kindness, your gentleness. and I've still got steps to take. And that's God saying to us, you should be growing. But when there's envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? It's Him reminding us that when we're fussing, when we're negative, when we're all these things, that we're not being like the church, we're being like the rest of the world. And I love the Hoopston Church of God. I know that this is an outwardly focused church and will continue to be so, and I love it. Okay, got to hurry. Second point real quick. We fail to be the church when we elevate the messenger above the message. This church has been guilty of that. I can personally speak, probably in 7 years here, that some of you liked me too much. I don't know why. I promise you I don't know why. But seriously. You know, the pastor leaves and you know, all of a sudden, in every church, in a lot of churches this happens, 10-15% of people stop coming to church because the pastor left. I'm going to need a vomit bucket. I've never understood that. Carl and I, when we were young and silly and just kind of a mess, pastor left. Matter of fact, I was already gone. My time away and my whole struggle and ordeal. And imagine poor Carla here, her husband's gone, and now her pastor leaves, who he's the best pastor I've ever known. You know, she didn't leave the church. Why would she stop going to church? We're not being the church and we're not being Christ-like when we elevate the messenger above the message. This was happening in Corinth. Listen, guys, my job in Hoopston was to equip you for ministry, to speak God's word, to speak the truth of God's word, to be alongside you. But this is Jesus' church. And Pastor David is coming with a mandate from God. And I'm not sure, you know what, things are going to be different. He's going to be very different than I was. Some probably way better. Some you may not like as much. But none of that really matters, because don't lose sight of what your job is as the church. You. We fail to be the church, and you fail to honor God when you elevate a messenger above a message. Third, we fail to be the church when we assume. There will be no play on words in the church. That would be inappropriate. But when we assume, and now I don't assume that much. I'm guilty of assuming. You know you are too. Motives, intentions, that person, this is how they are. We did this because... I'm going to get myself in so much trouble, but I get to leave. I heard through the grapevine, somebody says the church looks like a bar. No, no, I don't mean to do that. Oh, I'm getting the nod. Here you go. The sanctuary looks literally the exact same as it does when I was here, except there's a row. I think it looks great up here, by the way. But anyway, if you're here, you can get mad at me. Please don't. But if you said it or thought that, that's not being the church. That's assuming, or why do we do this, or I'd rather it be brown or red or blue or black or green. It's just in the grand scheme of every second, someone going into a Christless eternity in the world. And every second that you live in your workplace, in your school place, in your neighborhood, people don't know Jesus. None of this other stuff really matters that much. None of this stuff really matters that much. It's funny, and I'm going to close in just a second. I've got one quick fourth point and one more story so we can get going. But, you know, there's always disagreements. We're always going to be human, etc. But I'll tell you what. One thing I know for sure in leaving, in all my time here and being around other churches and pastors is, and I know why it is, there's two reasons why, real quick, but God has always had His hand of favor on this church. It's so cool. And I think there's two reasons, and God has His hand of favor on every church when, number one, the church is focused on being the church. Not denominationalism, not money, not finances, not getting our way, not all these other things. And I can tell you in 7 years here, and I know there's been a little bit of a change, and it's everyone was great, everyone is great. The leaders here, your elders, your overseers, as the Bible calls them, are people who love the Lord and care about being the church. You have my word. So God bless the church. And in addition, I also know, coming here when the church was smaller, and the stories of the faithfulness and the sacrifice and the leaders of this church for 100 years, God has just continued to honor that. This is what we would call really kind of a legacy church. And that's the truth. Hoopston Church of God is just, you guys are phenomenal. Because Jesus is phenomenal. And when we put Him first and make Him the subject and make others more important than ourselves and loving people, and when we realize the number one purpose of the church is to make disciples. And nobody can be a disciple until they've come to Jesus. And nobody's going to come to Jesus until we've loved on them and we've went seeking them and we've tried to serve them. We've tried to put ourselves out there. And that's something the church has always done and I want to continue to do. And so I want to wrap this up with just a quick, kind of a quick story this morning is our son is 8 and he goes to one of the elementary schools in Huntington, and we've got like 6, I think, and so they're great schools, and I just say that to say that they're bigger schools, and you don't normally, you know, why would a normal, well, he's not a normal third grader, that's for sure, why would a normal third grader, you know, spend some time with the principal, usually because they're in trouble, but no. He comes home one day, and I'll have to rush a little bit, but he talked about how his principal, he comes home, he's like, to his parents, he was like, Mrs. So-and-so, she's a Christian. Like, well, how do you know that? He goes, she smells like Jesus. Now, you all laugh because you're thinking, okay, where are we going with this here? Does she have like Yankee candles in her office? What's going on? No, it's this. It's that she is probably in the top 10 in my life of the most joyful, positive, kind people I've ever met. Like, seriously. And so we come. After he says this, we're like, "Well, she goes to church and blah." Yes, of course she's a Christian. He said she smells like Jesus. Do you think if you had several hundred kids, and some of you are here probably in education, do you know that parents cannot always be easy to deal with? Do you know that school boards and on and on? So as a principal of a school, to smell like Jesus, amen is right. And so as I'm finishing up this morning, and I'm it's really early this morning. I'm in Corinthians. I just happened to skip over to the verses in Corinthians that talk about the fragrance of what you are supposed to smell like and put off in your life. You're supposed to be the fragrance of Jesus. That's the church. And I'm not the programs, the building, the denomination. You are supposed to be the fragrance of Jesus. So kind, so positive, so loving, so merciful, so full of grace, so full of joy. The people just know it. Now, I don't have time to see. This should be a sermon series. Who's preaching next week? No. This should be like a sermon series, how next week it's like, how do I get that? Well, you abide in Him. You spend time in His Word. You pray. There's all kinds of things. You're supposed to be the fragrance of Jesus. And Dan, you want to come back up? I have probably one more really quick point and we're going to be done. Would you guys bow your heads with me this morning and just close your eyes? And I want you to take an inventory for a moment. If you're being the fragrance of Jesus. Number one, inside these walls. So I'm going to tell you what, if we can't be kind to one another in the church, we don't have a prayer out there. We can't love each other in the church. Now, I know we as believers can sometimes be some of the worst. Me, you, we can just be silly sometimes because we're still human. But the cool thing is when we're Christians, we forgive each other, we move on, it's over. To take an inventory this moment about, am I being the fragrance of Jesus? To my spouse, to my kids, in my workplace, am I this kind of person? Am I loving this much? Because that's being the church. My fourth and final thing this morning, we fail at being the church when we live in the past and don't look to the future. So it's okay to have good memories and all these kind of wonderful things, but the Bible says, forget all that and look forward. We have a job to do. There are lost and dying and hurting people all around us. And Jesus is coming back, or if He doesn't first, we're all going to breathe our last someday, and none of us know when. And all around us, people need Jesus. So what I'd like for you to do this moment is, as this morning, as you're at your seats this morning, is I just like to have a quick prayer. And if you want to go ahead and If you got somebody sitting by you, just grab their hand. You don't have to get up. I don't want it to be all awkward. Don't stretch out. If you're sitting by someone, just grab their hand. If you're not, that's fine. As just a symbol of unity, a symbol of love for one another and love for Jesus and love for getting to be the church. And I just want to pray for each and every one of you here this morning. I want to pray for Pastor David and his family. I just want to have a word of prayer with you. Then Pastor Dan's going to lead us in worship and he'll close us. But this morning, let's just have prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much, Lord, for the church. And I wish I had the time to say every name that's sitting here this morning, every name that will be here at second service that's out there right now sweating in the kitchen, whatever it is, serving you, God. And I just pray that this morning each and every one here would just take some inventory and just bask and remember that they are loved, that you have pursued and you continue to pursue their heart. If they're already saved and redeemed, you want to continue to transform them back into looking more like Jesus, even while we're still here on this earth and this broken world and these broken bodies, that you're pursuing us. And it's a pursuit that is done out of love. And so, Lord, I just pray that we, as we take this inventory this morning, would say we're going to be this people of love. We're going to love on Pastor David and his family when they get here. And we're going to show them that they're coming to a church that loves their community, that loves the Lord first, that loves people and especially lost people second. And ourselves, you know what? It's not that important. Our wants, preferences, desires, things, none of that matters as much as you, Lord. None of that matters as much as being a church where we see people saved and we see that baptismal filled up. And we see people being baptized into new and eternal life. And I just want to pray, God, for the Hoopston Church of God this morning. Each and every one that is here, may they continue and even more so say, what is my part in the church? How can I go out and be the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ in my world? Lord, bless the church. Bless as we worship again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing.